Peace Sabbath to everyone. Let us bow our hearts and minds to honor Yahweh. Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we come to you. We give you thanks, Father. We thank you for the talents you've given us so that we can edify one another. The beautiful songs, we hope that they bring a smile to your face. We thank you, Father Yahweh, for all the blessings throughout the week. We thank you for the trials that strengthen us. We thank you for increasing our faith. We thank you for showing us your truth, Father Yahweh, and your love through your Son, Yahshua. And we pray, Father Yahweh, that you be with all those that are keeping the Sabbath today, striving to keep it set apart and learn more about you and your ways. We pray for safe travels. We pray that you be with Elder Allen and Deacon Randy, and that you bless the services there and bless the service now here. Be with your speaker. Be with the listeners, Father Yahweh. Those that listen to us online, we pray that you bless them also and also hear their prayers, Father Yahweh, all around the world. We suffer through many trials, and so we just ask that you give us that strength so that we may continue in this walk, Father Yahweh, never give up. So we thank you, Father Yahweh, for all the things that you do for us day in and day out, and we pray that we be obedient to you, Father. All these things we ask through the name of your precious Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Hallelujah. Well, shalom and happy Sabbath once again. Also, happy new month. Some of us spotted the new moon last Sunday. It was a beautiful new moon. It was real thin. And I remember I went out there, I seen it the first time, and I ran back just to make sure what I was seeing, because sometimes it looks like you see it, but you don't because of the clouds. And then later on, I went back outside. I didn't see it, but I called Brother Mike Martin, and he told me, oh, I'm looking at it right now. So it moved farther south. So it's about day number seven, and we got about 9 more weeks till Feast of Tabernacles. So that's going to be another awesome time. Also, Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement. So we're looking forward to that. As Brother Jim mentioned, I like to talk about Samson, and I remember Brother Ken asked me to speak on this because he says, you know, we don't hear a lot about Samson, and it's been a long time since I read this story. And as I was looking for a topic, I remember I was chatting with a friend online, and I don't agree with a lot of teachings on TBN, but I like some of the movies that they give. They actually gave some nice movies last week on Abraham and John, interesting insights. But they also gave a cartoon on Samson, so I said, well, maybe that's my sign there. Let me talk about Samson, you know, and the cartoon was pretty entertaining. You know, it had some things in there I didn't consider. So I figured, you know, let's go ahead and talk about this. You know, this word Samson, to me, I don't think it's a good translation, because it would mean son of Sam. And actually, the word in the Hebrew is Shimshon. So it sounds similar, but it's number 8123 in the Strong's in the Hebrew. And it means sunlight. And it comes from the word Shemesh from 8121. But it also means to be brilliant. So we see this man was a real strong man. I mean, I don't know how tall he was, but you could just imagine what kind of man he was when we read through the book about his strength. We can read through the story, and we observe how this man took care of his business. And we don't read a lot about his childhood, but whatever they give us, it must be important for us to take heed to. So I want to start out in Judges. We'll go to Judges, and we'll start out in chapter 2. In Judges chapter 2, we get a little outlook here about this book here. It says here in the study Bible that they don't know who wrote the book, and there was actually 7 judges altogether. There was like 7 judgments, 7 times they were delivered. So let's look at this. In Judges chapter 2, I want to read from verse 1. On down to verse 3, and then I'll continue in verse 6, all the way down to verse 16. And here's an interesting statement here. In verse 1, it talks about the angel of Yahweh. A lot of us wonder, who this angel is, but it says here that the angel of Yahweh came up from Gilgal to Bochim. He said, I brought you up out of Egypt. He's speaking here to Israel. I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into a land which I have sworn to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And as for you, you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed me. What is this you have done? Therefore I said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall become as thorns in your sides, and their mighty ones shall be a snare to you. So we see here that Yahweh made Israel a promise, but they had to uphold his standards when they went into the promised land. Or otherwise, just like he does in our day and age, he's going to let our enemies or even pagans punish us. But also, Yahweh uses us when the pagans and these other nations, when they don't do what is right, Yahweh uses us to punish them too. So there's a fair balance there where we can't feel like we're too special, because Yahweh ultimately and Yahshua, they're the judge. So we just do what we're told. We do our best. Continuing here in Judges chapter 2, I want to read from verse 6 on down to 16. It says, when Joshua had dismissed the people, the sons of Israel went each to his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served Yahweh all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, who had seen all the great work of Yahweh which he had done for Israel. Then Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Yahweh, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnath Heres, in the country hill of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. And all the generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know Yahweh, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. Then the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh and served the Baals. And they forsook Yahweh, the Elohim of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other deities from among the deities of the people who were among them, and bowed themselves down to them. Thus they provoked Yahweh to anger. So they forsook Yahweh and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And that Ashtaroth there is where you get the word Easter. So when people are celebrating Easter, basically that's who they're worshiping there. And the anger of Yahweh burned against Israel, and he gave them into the hands of plunderers who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies around them, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went, the hand of Yahweh was against them for evil, as Yahweh has spoken, and as Yahweh has sworn to them, so that they were severely distressed. Then Yahweh raised up judges who delivered them from the hands of those who plundered them. So here we have the people of Israel. They're not doing what is right, so they have to get some correction from Yahweh, and he uses these other nations whom Yahweh at first told them to destroy them, make no covenant with them, but yet they let them hang around. And so the things that these people were doing, the idols they were worshiping, even the Israelites got to doing these things. So here we have Yahweh. He had to get judges, because at that time there was no king, and Moses and Joshua died, and so the people are in disarray. And so here we have where Samson comes in. You know, we had a lot of others before him. It says in the book here that Samson was the last judge. So we'll look into Samson here. The story begins over in chapter 13. And like I said, we don't read much about his childhood, but we know that he was special. We know that he was a Nazarite from birth. And if you'd like to read more about the Nazarite vow, you can look in Numbers chapter 6. And some people, as far as I know, I remember one brother way back when, about 4 or 5 years ago, he bound himself under a Nazarite vow. Now, of course, we don't do animal sacrifices, so there's certain things you can't do, but you can abstain from certain things, you know, if you want to do that, if you want to make a covenant with Yahweh to abstain from certain things. That's similar to a Nazirite vow. So let's read in Judges 13. We'll read about how this angel of Yahweh appeared to Samson's parents. I'll start in verse 1 in chapter 13. And you can see this phrase here that the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of Yahweh. This is a pattern that's going on here. You know, they do evil, then they cry, then he sends them a judge, then he dies, and they do evil again. There was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoach, and his wife was barren and had borne him no children. This is another similar theme that you see here when we read about how great Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were. Their wives were barren, and Yahweh had to open their wombs, and this was kind of like sometimes they lacked faith in Yahweh because of this. But in verse 3, it says, the angel of Yahweh appeared to the woman and said to her, behold, you are barren, have borne no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son. Now therefore be careful not to drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. For behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the boy shall be a Nazirite to Elohim from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of Elohim came to me, and his appearance was like the appearance of the angel of Elohim, very awesome. And I did not ask him where he came from, nor did he tell me his name. And so the two Israelites here, you know, they're awestruck. You know, I think some of us too, if we saw this angel, you know, this character is not like us, you know, not like a human where, you know, you can just tell, you know, okay, he's like us. You know, it was something special. And he was prophesying to the woman also. He was telling her about something that was going to happen in the future. And I mean, if you're a woman and you don't have any children and here comes a man, he tells you you're going to have a child, you might think to yourself, you know, I mean, can this really happen? Is this really true? You know, it doesn't really say their age there, but we know with Abraham and Sarah, they were up in age, and, you know, Yahweh was still able to work the miracle there. So let's continue in verse 7, chapter 13 of Judges. But he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and now you shall not drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. The boy shall be a Nazirite to Elohim from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated Yahweh and said, O master, please let the man of Elohim whom thou hast sent come to us again, that he may teach us what to do for the boy who is to be born. And Elohim listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of Elohim came again to the woman as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. So the woman ran quickly and told her husband, behold, the man who came the other day has appeared to me. Then Manoah arose and followed his wife, and he came to the man and said to him, are you the man who spoke to the woman? And he said, I am. And that's a familiar phrase there. And Manoah said, now when your words come to pass, what shall be the boy's mode of life and his vocation? So the angel of Yahweh said to Manoah, let the woman pay attention to all that I have said. She shall not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. Let her observe all that I commanded. Then Manoah said to the angel of Yahweh, please let us detain you so that we may prepare a kid for you. And the angel of Yahweh said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to Yahweh. For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of Yahweh. And Manoah said to the angel of Yahweh, what is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you? But the angel of Yahweh said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? So Manoah took the kid with the grain offering and offered it on the rock to Yahweh, and he performed wonders while Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to be when the flame went up from the altar toward heaven that the angel of Yahweh ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. Now the angel of Yahweh appeared no more to Manoah or his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of Yahweh. So Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die, for we have seen Elohim. But his wife said to him, if Yahweh had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have let us hear these things like this at this time. Then the woman gave birth to a son and named him Samson, and the child grew up, and Yahweh blessed him. So we see here that the woman had a little bit more faith than Manoah, and it's natural to be scared, you know, when you see something like this. But, you know, here's the blessing that was given to them. So it's interesting, too, that the man asks, you know, how shall we raise this child? Because a lot of times you can get a blessing, but then you might not know what to do with it. So the angel gives the man instructions on, you know, how they're supposed to care for the boy. So the angel of Yahweh here, it seems to indicate that this is Yahshua, because, you know, he doesn't give out his name. He was kind of being secretive here, you know, with the people. But they knew that there was something special about him. And we saw this when the angel of Yahweh appeared to Abraham also. You know, he prophesied to them that they were going to inherit a blessing. And, you know, in the end, although it looks like the people had doubts, they had faith that, you know, this was the angel of Yahweh and that Yahweh would accomplish these things. And so we can take courage in this here. Maybe those people that are married out there, I knew a sister, she was married for about 11 years, couldn't have any kids. The doctor says, don't bother trying. She has 3 kids now. So much for that, you know. Praise Yahweh for that there, you know. So we see here also that this Samson, he was set up to be a judge to deliver Israel. That was basically his task. But also, you know, he had to continue with his Nazarite vow. He had to abstain, you know, just like his mom did. He had to abstain, you know, from wine, strong drink, and things like this. And as we read through the story, we'll see more, you know, about things that he was doing. So let's start now in chapter 14. We only have a few chapters to read about Samson, but it's still a great story. I hope that we all enjoy it. I know that especially for the kids, you know, this is a great story, especially when you want to grow up, be strong. You know, you can be strong in the word, you know, not necessarily physically. So let's start in chapter 14. It says, then Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he came back and told his father and mother, I saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as wife. Now, here, you know that in the scriptures it says we're not supposed to make covenants, you know, with these nations. That Yahweh actually told us, you know, he told the people of Israel, you know, don't make no covenants with them. But yet, we already start to see a weakness in this man, although he was strong physically. Sometimes we see things and we like them and we want them, you know. And it's interesting here that he doesn't ask for advice, you know, from his mom and dad. He tells her, get her for me, you know, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. But then here in verse 3, it says, then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your relatives or among your people that you go and take a wife from circumcised Philistines? But Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she looks good to me. That's a lot of times what we say, you know, these things, they look good to us. Sometimes, as one elder was speaking, you see unclean foods, they look good to you. They smell good, but they're not good for you. And so here we have a situation. In verse 4, it says, however, his father and mother did not know it was from Yahweh, for he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. Now, at that time, the Philistines were ruling over Israel. So Yahweh was going to use Samson to judge Israel, but his mother and father, they didn't know this. And so that's the way Yahweh works. You know, we sometimes don't understand the way Yahweh works, but he does things, you know, the way he's going to do them, and they always turn out right because he's a righteous judge. So let's continue in verse 5. It says, then Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came as far as the vineyards of Timnah, and behold, a young lion came roaring toward him. And the Spirit of Yahweh came upon him mightily, so that he tore him as one tears a kid, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his mother or father what he had done. So here we have, just like King David. King David says that he tore a lion and he also tore a bear with his bare hands. But a key statement here is that the Spirit of Yahweh came upon him speedily. We'll see that again. And it seems that when he does these awesome tasks, this Samson, when he does a awesome task, I mean, some of us wouldn't even get near a lion. And this man, he just, you know, it says here, he tore him as one tears a kid. So that was some awesome strength. And we know that only through Yahweh we can accomplish certain things. So let's continue. So he went down, in verse 7, he went down and talked to the woman, and she looked good to Samson. When he returned later to take her, he turned aside to look at the carcass of the lion. Behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the body of the lion. So he scraped the honey into his hands and went on eating as he went. When he came to his father and mother, he gave to them, and they ate it. But he did not tell them that he had scraped the honey out of the body of the lion. Then his father went down to the woman, and Samson made a feast there, for the young men customarily did this. And it came about when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Now I read this story in the Spanish version. It reads a little different here in this verse 11. It says that because they were scared of Samson, they gave him 30 companions. So here we see that already. The Philistines, they see something in this man, and they don't like it. They're kind of fearful of this man, and he's going to marry one of theirs. Also, we can see that, as I said before, you're not supposed to make covenants with these strangers, these uncircumcised people, but it says you're not supposed to touch the carcass of a dead animal. So not only did Samson touch the dead carcass, but he took the honey out and then he ate it and then he gave it to his parents. And so we see there that he's not doing everything, you know, according to the Torah, the way it's supposed to be. But once again, we don't have a high priest here that we can read about. The people are in their own land, you know, their own part of the inheritance. And just Samson here will judge the people. But they're not doing everything according to how they're supposed to. Even Samson here, he's not taking advice from his parents. And, you know, a wedding, a marriage is a serious thing. So we have to get the best advice that we can. So let's continue now. We'll see here Samson, the woman that he chose. We'll see what happens here. In chapter 14, we'll read from verses 12 on down to 20. Then Samson said to the men that were there, the companions there, he said, "Let me now propound a riddle to you. If you indeed tell me it within the 7 days of the feast and will find it out, then I will give you 30 linen wraps and 30 changes of clothes. But if you aren't able to tell me, then you have to give me 30 linen wraps and changes of clothes." And they said to him, "Profound your riddle, that we may hear it." So he said to them, "Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. But they could not tell the riddle in 3 days. Then it came about on the fourth day that they said to Samson's wife, "Entice your husband that he may tell us the riddle, lest we burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us to impoverish us? Is this not so?" And Samson's wife wept before him and said, "You only hate me and you do not love me. You have propounded a riddle to the sons of my people and have not told it to me." And he said to her, "Behold, I have not told it to my father and mother, so how should I tell you?" However, she wept before him 7 days while their feast lasted, and it came about on the seventh day that he told her because she pressed him so hard. So then he told the riddle to the sons. So she told the people the riddle to the sons. So the man of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, "What is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion?" And he said to them, "If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would have not found out my riddle." So here we see where the heart of his wife is, and we see that, you know, she was easily taken in by these men. You know, they threatened her, and she just kept on and kept on bugging him and bugging him. And, you know, he tells her, I haven't even gave this riddle to my parents, you know, and I'm going to give it to you. But she kept bugging him. And so here we see that that's what happens sometimes. We might get with an unbeliever, and sometimes we get into situations, you know, that are not good for us. And it's not, I'm not talking about just about marriage. I'm talking about, it says, do not be yoked with unbelievers. Sometimes they get us to say things and do things, and sometimes the conduct, it rubs off on us, things that are not proper. So we have to watch ourselves. We have to apply this story here to ourselves, to our physical, our spiritual life, you know, how we're walking before Yahweh. So anyway, in verse 19, as we continue, it says once again, then the Spirit of Yahweh came upon him speedily, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of them and took their spoil and gave changes of clothes to those who had told the riddle. And his anger burned, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his friend. So what I see here, Yahweh gave him a special talent. He was strong, and he abused it because he got taken in by his wife. He lost this riddle, and he had to honor his word. Even though these were pagan people, we see here that you still had to honor your word. You know, he made a promise. And, you know, we had to learn that we can't use those gifts that Yahweh gives us for the wrong reasons. But like I said before, in the end, you know, Yahweh was using him to accomplish a certain task. So we might see this as something wrong, but we see here that, as we do a lot of times in the Old Testament, you know, some things, they might not be right, but they were allowed. And in the end, we know that Yahweh ultimately, you know, he pays us for what we do. So we continue. We also see that in verse 20, his wife was given to his companion. We don't read about any divorce here, but the way times were back then, I wonder how come Samson didn't take his wife, you know, have his own place. You know, it says that he went back to be with his parents and his wife stayed with her parents. So I find that pretty interesting in that story. And as we read the story also about, it talks about Manoah's wife. You notice it never mentions her name. It never mentions Samson's wife. It never mentions her name. It just refers to her as Samson's wife. And we see this sometimes. You know, it's not that, you know, the women are not held in high standard. But, you know, the customs were different in the Israelites' time, you know, in the Old Testament. So you'll read about this sometimes. Sometimes we'll read a story. It might not mention somebody's name, but for whatever reason, whatever is there for us to learn from. And, you know, we can take courage from this story. So let's continue in chapter 15. We don't have too much here. We only have 15 and 16. So let's continue. In verse 1, but after a while in time of wheat of harvest, it came about that Samson visited his wife with a young goat and said, I will go into her in her room. But her father did not let him enter. And her father said, I really thought that you hated her intensely, so I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister more beautiful than she? Please let her be yours instead. So this is kind of backwards from what happened to Jacob. He wanted the younger. They gave him the older. Samson took the older daughter. Now the dad wants to give him the younger daughter. But see, Samson was, you know, he was in love with the one that he got, you know. And so this story really, you know, he's not buying into it, you know. It says here in verse 3, he says, Samson said to them, this time I shall be blameless in regard to the Philistines when I do them harm. So he was mad. We see that his temper's working already. And I guess, you know, when somebody that's big and strong, when they get mad, they can do a lot of damage. And so here he is. He comes up with a plan. In verse 4, it says, and Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took torches and turned a foxes tail to tail and put a torch in the middle between two tails. When he had set fire to the torches, he released the foxes into the standing grain of the Philistines, thus burning up both the shocks and the standing grain, along with the vineyards and the groves. And one thing that we see in the Torah, in Exodus 22:6, if you set a fire to somebody's property, you know, and everything goes, as we say, you know, everything is gone, you know, this is somebody's livelihood, you have to pay restitution for that. But see, you know, because of what Samson's father-in-law did, you know, he was upset. And so this is how he took out his anger. And so this was still in Yahweh's plan, you know, to bring about, you know, what he wanted to do to the Philistines, to punish them. So let's continue in verse 6. Then the Philistine says, "Who did this?" And they said, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he took his wife and gave her to his companion." So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. And Samson said to them, "Since you act like this, I will surely take revenge on you. But after that, I will quit." And he struck them ruthlessly with a great slaughter, and he went down and lived in the cleft of the rock of Etam. So here we see that even though the wife came up with a riddle and gave it to these men, she still ended up getting burned, her and her father. And, you know, they had promised her, if you don't come up with a riddle, this is what we're going to do. She came up with a riddle. In the end, look at here, she still ends up getting burned, her and her father. And yet, Samson, again, he's upset. He wants to take revenge again, you know, a second time. And so we already see that he killed 30 men. You know, I was sitting here taking account on how many people this man killed. So we saw 30 there. He struck them again with a great slaughter. So he probably killed some more people. It doesn't say here. But anyway, as we continue, in verse 9 it says, "Then the Philistines went up and camped in Judah and spread out in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, 'Why have you come up against us?' And they said, 'We have come up to bind Samson in order to bind him as he did to us.' Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock on Etam and said to Samson, 'Do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? What then is this that you have done to us?' And he said to them, 'As they did to me, so I have done to them.' And they said to him, 'We have come down to bind you so that we may give you into the hands of the Philistines.' And Samson said to them, 'Swear to me that you will not kill me.' So they said to him, 'No, but we will bind you fast and give you into their hands, yet surely we will not kill you.' Then they bound him with 2 new ropes and brought him up upon from the rock." So here we see that, I'm thinking even the men of Judah were scared of him. They knew how awesome his strength was. 3,000 men. This is as many people as repented when Peter preached. You know, this is a lot of people just to come down and get one man. So this is a pretty awesome man that we're talking about. You know, physically, he's very, very strong here. So they didn't want to take any chances, you know, and they even wanted to bind him. You know, any one of us, I mean, we could barely go up against one or two people, you know. So let's continue. In verse 13, I'm in Judges chapter 15. In verse 13. "And they said, 'No, but we will bind you fast and give you into the hands. Yet surely we will not kill you.' Then they bound him with 2 new ropes and brought him up from the rock." And here we see that phrase again. It says, "When he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted as they met him, and the spirit of Yahweh came upon him mightily, so that the ropes that were on his arms were as flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds dropped from his hands. And he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, so he reached out and took it and killed 1,000 men with it." So here we have 1,030 and some more. But we see that the spirit of Yahweh, as it did in the Torah, when he wanted the tabernacle built, the spirit of Yahweh came on the people. He gave them wisdom, he gave them knowledge, and they were able to do everything just as Yahweh said. So here we see that when the spirit of Yahweh came upon Samson, it gave him superhuman strength, and he was able to kill, here it says, 1,000 men. And this also is a lot of people, you know, just right there with the jawbone of a donkey. In verse 16 it says, then Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have killed 1,000 men. One thing that we see here, we see some similarities to David. He was a strong man. He had a weakness for women. One thing that at least we could say about Samson, he didn't go and take a married woman and kill her husband, you know, like King David did. Even though we know that King David repented. So we need to find some good characteristics in Samson, because I don't want to just look at a lot of his faults. And even in the end, just like us, you know, we have a lot of faults. We do things that are not right, but we repent. And Yahweh chose us just like he chose Samson. Maybe not a special calling like this, you know, where we have superhuman strength. We're not Nazarites, but, you know, we were all called to serve Yahweh in whatever way that we can, whether it's speaking or singing or cooking meals for the brothers or speaking a word of encouragement, offering up a prayer, you know, whatever you can do. So let's continue in chapter 15, verse 17. It came about when he had finished speaking that he threw the jawbone from his hand, and he named that place Ramath Lehi. Then he became very thirsty, and he called to Yahweh and said, thou hast given me this great deliverance by the hand of thy servant. Now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the circumcised? So we see here that Yahweh delivered him from all these men, and yet he has another request. Just like the children of Israel, Yahweh delivered them out of the land of Egypt. They get to the wilderness. Then they say, we want bread, we want food, give us some food, you know. Well, you did all these wonderful things for us, but still, come on, give us this other request that we have of you, you know, as if what he did wasn't enough for the people. But such is the case when we're humans, we do these things. You know, Yahweh gives us a blessing, we quickly forget, then we say, well, give me something else now. But, you know, we know how Yahweh is. Those here that are parents, they know how their children are. You take care of them real nice, and they come to you again. Mommy, mommy, can you do this for me now? So here we have the story. All right, so in verse 20 of chapter 15, it says there that Samson, he judged Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Now, let's go again and let's continue in chapter 16. And now we'll see again. Yahweh delivers this man here. And as I like to say, you know, his weakness. To me, he had a weakness for women. Who knows? It doesn't say if they were beautiful or not, whatever. He liked these women, so he wanted them. You know, and Yahweh just, you know, Yahweh allowed it. But we know in the end, we get our punishment. So let's start out in chapter 16. In verse 1, it says, now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. When it was told to the Gazites, saying, Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. And they kept silent all night, saying, let us wait until the morning light, then we will kill him. But see, Samson, he was smart. He caught on to this. Now Samson lay until midnight. And at midnight he arose and took hold of the doors of the city gate and the two posts and pulled them along with the bars. Then he put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the mountain, which is opposite Hebron. Now this here we see, this is another awesome feat. You're talking about the doors of the city. Forget about the keys to the city. He took the doors and he took the posts also. And, I mean, we look at the doors outside, even these wooden doors right here, you know. Some of them, you know, it's hard for one man to carry all these things, the doors, the posts. I mean, but he just went ahead. He took them all. So we see that. We see how strong he is, you know. And more, when he does these things, this terrifies his enemies even more because they see his strength. So let's continue. In verse 4, it says, After this, it came about that he loved a woman in the valley of Zorek, whose name was Delilah. Now we see here another woman, her name is mentioned, and she basically does a lot of damage to him. But no matter, this man, you know, he has this desire for these women. So let's continue reading in verse 5. It says, "And the masters of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, 'Entice him and see where his great strength is, and how we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. Then we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver.'" So here we have a picture. Okay, the man can't overcome him. They say, well, we'll use the next best thing. If he has a weakness for women, we'll go through these women, and we'll go ahead and, we'll say that we're going to do something bad to them. You know, we'll threaten them, and then maybe they'll get him, you know, to tell his secret. So that way we may kill him. And sometimes that's how the evil one works also, you know, in our lives. You know, when he can't get to us directly, he'll use somebody that we love or somebody that we know to attack us physically and spiritually. And even if we are strong spiritually, he still keeps on. He finds ways, you know, just like he found ways to get at Job. But we know that ultimately, you know, Yahweh loves us. He'll deliver us as long as we continue obedient to him. So let's continue in verse 6 in chapter 16. "So Delilah said to Samson, 'Please tell me where your great strength is and how we may bound and afflict you.' And Samson said to her, 'If they bind me with 7 fresh cords that have not been dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man.' Then the master of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh cords that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now when she had the man lying in wait in an inner room, she said to him, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' But he snapped the cords as a string of toe snaps when it touches fire, so his strength was not discovered." So we see here that he already had an experience, and people want to know what his weakness is. So right away, he didn't give this away, this secret. But let's continue reading. In verse 10, it says, "Then Delilah said to Samson, 'Behold, you have deceived me and told me lies. Now please tell me how you may be bound.' And he said to her, 'If they bind me tightly with new ropes which have not been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man.' So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson,' for the men were lying in wait in the inner room. But he snapped the ropes from his arms like a thread." So we see here the second time. She tried it again, but it didn't work. So in verse 13, "Then Delilah said to Samson, 'Up to now you have deceived me and told me lies. Tell me how you may be bound.' And he said to her, 'If you weave the 7 locks of my hair with a web and fasten it with a pin, then I shall become weak and be like any other man.' So while he slept, Delilah took the 7 locks of his hair and wove them into a web, and she fastened it with a pin and said to him, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the pin of the loom and the web." So here we have a situation where she's continuing to pester him. He continues to overcome. He's not giving away his secret. And also, you know, we're seeing here that sometimes, you know, these things may happen to us. I remember one time when I gave someone the name of Yahweh. And when I saw that the man was making fun of the name of Yahweh, I said, "You better be careful what you're doing, because you won't go unpunished for that." So it just so happens that he forgot what the name was. And I was glad, because when he kept on asking me, I didn't give him the name so that he wouldn't sit there and make fun of it. So praise Yahweh for that, because we don't want anyone to make fun of Yahweh's name, and we don't want that to be on our conscience. We don't want to be responsible for doing that. Just like if we give somebody some of Yahweh's truth and then they don't keep it, or they go and keep it the wrong way, or they go and make fun of us, you know, this is not something that we want to do. So we want to be careful with Yahweh's truth, how we share it with others. Let's continue in the story, chapter 16, verse 15. It says, "Then Delilah," she said to him, "how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have deceived me these three times and have not told me where your great strength is." And it came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was annoyed to death. So he told her all that was in his heart and said to her, "A razor have never come on my head, for I have been a Nazarite to Elohim from my mother's womb. If I am shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." So big mistake here that he makes. He gives away his secret. Something that I learned also, it says in the Proverbs, you know, when somebody that we love, somebody that we know, when they tell us a secret and we say we're not going to share it, then we should not share it because it's a secret. Sometimes it's maybe something personal. Somebody might be suffering from something. And we just, sometimes we want to vent. We want to share our frustrations with people, you know. And so we don't expect our friends, our family to share, you know, our secrets. And so this was something that was given to him by Yahweh. And just like Esau gave away his birthright, he sold his birthright. We see here that the most precious thing, you know, besides Yahweh's spirit, besides Yahweh's truth, at this time, the most precious thing given to Samson was the fact that he was a Nazarite and he had certain strength. And it was because of this. It was also because his mom did what the angel of Yahweh said, and he was blessed for it. But now, let's continue and see what happens here in chapter 16 and verse 18. When Delilah saw that he had told her all that was in his heart, she sent and called the masters of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all that is in his heart." Then the masters of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. And she made him sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his hair. Then she began to afflict him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that Yahweh had departed from him. Sounds kind of like when they sold Joseph into slavery, when Judah sold Yahshua, also, you know, similar situation. We see here that this is what happened to Samson because this is the woman that he chose. And we saw what was in her heart all along. We see that she wanted the money, you know. Maybe that was a thing. Maybe she was poor, or maybe the way they threatened her, you know, she was scared. She says, "I'd rather turn him over to my people, you know, then have something bad happen to me and to my family." And then we see here how Yahweh left him. You know, sometimes Yahweh leaves us also. You know, if we sin or something, he might leave us for a while so that we can get, you know, so that we can get corrected, so that we can accept correction. You know, he'll give us up. You know, he gave up Job so that Satan could torture him a little bit, but not kill him. So sometimes this may happen to us also, you know, when we do something that's wrong. You know, we have to take correction. So Yahweh has to correct us somehow, some way. So this is what happened here to Samson. So let's continue in verse 21. Then the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes, and they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze chains, and he was a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it was shaved off. So we'll see here that as his hair grew again, his strength was going to grow again. And, you know, there's not really much to the story here, you know, as far as a lot of context, but I happened to call an elder in Puerto Rico yesterday, a minister, and just off the top of my head, I said, "What can you tell me about Samson? You read the story, you know, you're older than I am, you know, and we know that the ministers of Yahweh, they have a special gift, they have a special insight. That's why they That's why they help out the younger men, the younger women. The older women, they also have certain insight, so they teach the younger women. But what he told me was, go to this scripture here in verse 21, and when it says that the Philistine seized him and gouged out his eyes, they brought him down to Gaza, bound him with bronze chains, and he was a grinder in prison. If you go to 2 Corinthians 4:4, we'll read there real quick, 2 Corinthians 4:4. It's simply, let's start in verse 3, it says, "And if even our evangel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the mighty one of the world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the evangel of the glory of Messiah, who is the image of Yahweh." So, the way that I look at it, the way that the minister expounded, was that Yahweh put out Samson's eyes. See, now, also one way that I look at it, if you have a weakness for women, you have to be able to look at them. If they put out your eyes, you can't behold the beautiful women. You can't see your enemy. You can't do anything to your enemy. You know, you might be able to hear, they're close to you, but you're at a disadvantage. Not to say that all blind people are disadvantaged. Some of them can play instruments better than some who can see. So praise Yahweh for that. You know, because we can enjoy, you know, these talents. But also, when he put out his eyes and they put him in as a grinder in prison, if you can imagine, he's got the thing around his neck. He's going around in circles. It said there that the evil one blinds the minds of the unbelieving. Therefore, he'll blind you so you can't see Yahweh's truth. And then you're enslaved, as it says that the spirit of the sons of disobedience, it works in them. You know, we at one time also were under that spirit. We were disobedient. We didn't want to listen to Yahweh's word. We didn't know about a lot of the things that we're supposed to be doing. Therefore, we were blind. So this, in a sense, this is what happens to Samson. He gets put in this situation. You know, you can't move freely about. You can't enjoy certain things in life. You can't enjoy Yahweh's creation because you can't see. Therefore, if you're blind to Yahweh's truth, you can't see his goodness. You can't see his blessings. You know, you can't see what a blessing the Sabbath is. You can't see the feast days. You can't see how beautiful it's going to be in the kingdom, the message that Yahweh is preaching to us that we're also trying to share with others. So out of this whole book, that was an interesting insight, you know, and just off the top of my head asking a simple question, you know, that's good insight. You know, I definitely appreciate that, you know, because the first thing I thought of when they put out his eyes, well, you know, being that he loves all these women, now he can't see them. So therefore, he can't fall into that temptation again. But this was also in Yahweh's plan. You know, as we see the Apostle Paul, he did great works. He wrote great letters for us. And he also had a thorn in his side. And he asked 3 times that Yahweh take it away. So I heard a minister once talking about Yahweh never says no to whatever you ask him. And that's not according to Scripture, because if even Shaul, the great Shaul, if even he asked 3 times, not once or twice, but 3 times, Yahweh said, "My grace is sufficient for you." So, depending on how we take that Scripture, we see here that even in Samson's eyes being put out, Yahweh is being gracious, you know. He didn't kill him. You know, his strength was going to come back again. You know, his hair was going to grow back. He wasn't going to be able to enjoy, like I said, he wasn't going to have his eyesight. But let's continue. We'll read the end of the story here in Judges chapter 16. We'll start in verse 23. "Now the masters of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their deity, and to rejoice, for they said, 'Our deity has given Samson, our enemy, into our hands.' When the people saw him, they praised their deity, for they said, 'Our deity has given our enemy into our hands, even the destroyer of our country, who has slain many of us. Now, sometimes when people, maybe they say a curse to us, maybe something bad happens to us, maybe they worship some other deity, this is what happens. They get all excited. They might even think, well, we're praying to the right deity because he gave us this man into our hands, you see? So the deception continues in their mind. They continue being deceived. And so it is in our day and age with those that have not come to Yahweh's truth. You know, we have compassion on those that are humble and want to learn. But there are some that, for Messiah's namesake, it says they hate us. They can't stand us. They don't want anything good to happen to us. And so they continue in their wayward ways and they say, well, if your Elohim is so great, how come you're being tried? You know, how come you're being put in a certain situation? Maybe you have an affliction, a sickness, you know, or whatever the case is. You know, they might say this to themselves. You know, you preach to me your faith, but look at what's happening to you. You know, we see some ministers, I remember watching a video, the man said, he won't listen to a poor man that comes to talk to him. He'll listen to the rich man because he was thinking to himself, you know, your mighty one hasn't blessed you. Look at, you know, he's talking about, look at the kind of car you drive, you know, look at the kind of house you live in, you know. I mean, this to us doesn't matter because these are only, you know, worldly possessions that come and go. You know, what matters is the spiritual, how we approach Yahweh. And, you know, as is the case with many servants, you know, they get put under affliction too. Like, look at Samson. You know, how great he was, he got his eyes put out. You know, so now he's a weakling. Now he's like any other man. His strength left him, you know. But anyway, let's continue in verse 25. It so happened when they were in high spirits that they said, call for Samson that he may amuse us. So they called for Samson from the prison and he entertained them. And they made him stand between the pillars. Then Samson said to the boy who was holding his hand, let me feel the pillar on which the house rests, that I may lean against them. See, now Samson was thinking, he was using his mind. You know, he says, if I'm going to be put under this affliction, you know, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do something here. It says, now the house was full of men and women, and all the masters of the Philistines were there. And about 3,000 men and women were on the roof looking on while Samson was amusing them. Then Samson called to Yahweh and said, O sovereign Yahweh, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time, O Elohim, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson grasped the two pillars on which the house rested and braced himself against them, the one with his right and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bent with all his might so that the house fell on the masters and on all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he killed in his life. Then his brothers and all his father's household came down, took him, brought him up, and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoach, his father. Thus he had judged Israel for 20 years. So another observation that we see here, Samson had brothers and sisters. We don't read about them. We don't read a lot about them only up until this point. We also see that at the end, seems to indicate from what the minister shared to me from Puerto Rico, it seems to indicate that this here was Samson's repentance. He called out to Yahweh, and it says that Yahweh heard him. So when Yahweh hears us, that means that we're doing his will. Sometimes he might hear us and still tell us no. But sometimes he'll hear us and he'll give us our heart's desires. He gives us way more than we deserve. And a lot of times we look at the way people die and we say, you know, he didn't deserve to die like that. But we don't know. We don't know how Yahweh is judging a certain person, you know, what the person truly did, you know, in his life. We can read about Samson's life here, and we saw how it came to a tragic end, but we saw that He judged Israel. This was his task. This is, you know, what he was called to do. And look at all the people that he killed. I mean, 3,000. Like I said before, you know, you read about Peter. His sermon was so strong, it converted 3,000. We read about Samson. He was so strong, you know, he broke these pillars and 3,000 people died. 3,000 people that could have heard the word and repented, but no. These people were uncircumcised. Yahweh put these people there to torment the Israelites because they were being disobedient to Yahweh. So sometimes he'll put certain people, certain situations in our life to torment us if we're disobedient. And even if we are obedient, we still might have to suffer a little bit. You know, we can read about that in Peter. But Peter says that if we suffer for doing what is right, that means we're blessed. That means the Spirit of Yahweh is upon us. So, as I was saying, you know, Samson, he was strong spiritually. But when we read through the story, we saw that spiritually, he was weak. And some of us, we may be able to relate. Like, for instance, maybe some of us, maybe we had a weakness for women in our past. Or maybe we gave away a secret. Or what about Yahweh leaving us for a time until we repent of some, you know, some wrongdoing that we did? You know, we were talking about earlier in the Bible study about, you know, once saved, always saved, you know. When we look at the Israelites, just because they entered into the promised land, that didn't mean that everything was going to be okay. See, they still had enemies that they had to deal with. And so, in a sense, they weren't saved at that time. They still had to be obedient to Yahweh. And we may look at Samson and say, wow, man, you know, look at all those people he killed. It says, you shall not murder, right? But in the book of Yochanan, in the book of John, 1 John 3:15, it says that even if we hate our brother, it says that we are murderers. You know, have we ever hated anyone, then repented? You know, at times, you know, sometimes we get on each other's nerves. Maybe, you know, some of the things we do and say more, the people outside of the body of Messiah. Sometimes when we try to dialogue with them, you know, they say things, they do things, you know, they might mock us, you know, and we don't like it, but you know, we have to have patience because we, at times, also, you know, we're like the sheep. We know the truth, but sometimes we go astray and we have to be brought back into the fold. That's why it's good when we fellowship, we encourage one another. You know, stay in the faith. Don't leave. You know, just hang in there. Fight the good fight. You know, that's one thing also that a lot of parents, you know, even when we was in the world, they always taught us, you know, don't quit. When you're doing something, you know, you put your mind to something, don't quit. Especially if you're looking for truth, don't quit. If you're not there yet, if you don't feel you found, you know, Yahweh's truth, then keep on. You know, this was something that was told to me. When I gave up on going to church, my stepmom told me, she says, don't quit, don't give up. You know, keep on looking. You know, and so praise Yahweh that I come to find his truth. So, you know, we read the story, and this message was, it was not to criticize Samson, because I did point out a lot of his weaknesses, but we ourselves, we're not judges, even though it says in 1 Corinthians 6 that we will judge angels. At this point in time, we look at the scriptures, in 1 Corinthians says, it says that these scriptures were written for our examples to learn from. We can read about Moses, Samson, David, Abraham, all our forefathers, and we can take a lot of good out of those scriptures, you know, how they served Yahweh, how they made mistakes, but they repented. You know, they made the situation right with Yahweh. And that's basically what we're trying to do every day. We go about our business, you know, we want to make things right. If we offend someone, then we, you know, we try to ask forgiveness, you know. But if we speak the truth and it offends someone, then we can't do anything about that. Because that's how the truth is, you know. Sometimes it even brings division among us. So it says, the scripture says that Yahweh used Samson. Yahweh chose him. even before he was born, and he judged Israel for 20 years. The Philistines were terrified of Samson, just like the Israelites were scared of Goliath. So we have a change of roles there. Sometimes we're terrified about some things, but then Yahweh gives us either superhuman strength or even just a little bit of extra help. It all depends on how weak we are, and we can overcome this flesh. You know, I remember at one Feast of Tabernacle, I know Brother Paul remembers this, his trailer was about to go down a hill, and he was going to be dragged right along with it. And I was in my car, and I was watching, and as I saw this, the handlebars from one of the bikes on the trailer got caught on a branch. And I was in my car, and that gave me just enough time to run over and scream and holler for Brother Mike Martin. And we both got over there, and we were able to help him out. And this was like, it happened quick. So the moral to this story, for me, myself, I was talking to a girl one time, and her son was about a year old. He was getting near a lake. I kept saying, watch him, go get him. He falls in the lake. Me, I panicked and I froze and I didn't know what to do. She went over. She grabbed him. You know, she struggled a little bit. But for me, myself, I said to myself, you should have did something. You should have moved. But I froze. I couldn't do anything. And so I prayed to Yahweh that if a situation ever happened again where I had to help someone, I wouldn't freeze up. And so it happened with Brother Paul. When that happened to him, it might be a small thing, but you see the drag marks, you know, on his arms, and the way he was going down that hill so quick, and the way that I moved so fast, you know, you could call me Speedy Gonzalez because I was just that quick. But see, that's the situation right there where we might be weak in a lot of areas, but we pray to Yahweh. We might not be as strong as Samson, but then again, we don't have to be, because Yahweh is going to give you just what you need at that time. He's going to help you, you know, in whatever situation. And if he doesn't, then as the scripture says, his grace is sufficient. Whatever Yahweh wants to do in our lives, he's going to do. We have to just seek out his will and do his will, you know, and honor him. So this was encouraging to me when I was able to do that, because I had another situation also where somebody was choking and I also froze. And so that really bothered me. That really was in my mind, you know, and I didn't appreciate that, you know, I didn't do anything about it. So as we saw in 2 Corinthians, you know, we see how the evil one shuts the eyes of the people just like he did to Samson. You know, he'll put your eyes out, you know, where you can't see his truth. But, you know, just like the song that we sang, it says, open the eyes of my heart, Yah. And he does these things. He listens to us. He opens our minds. He opens our hearts. You know, he humbles us. You know, he allows us to be humble, to help others. You know, when sometimes we don't want to help others, but we have to. We have to do it. Because Yahweh calls for these things. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. So in the same way the Philistines witnessed the strength given to Samson by Yahweh, the world witnesses the boldness given to the saints to uphold the truth of Yahweh, which in this nation, I don't believe it was wholeheartedly available when it was first set up. But yet the forefathers had the scriptures as their foundation when the nation was set up. And then you had these valiant men. They studied the word of Yahweh. Yahweh gave them spiritual eyes to see. Even if it's just the basics, as keeping the Sabbath or the annual Sabbaths or the clean food laws. Another thing, as we read through this story of Samson, you can't help but notice that the man is mentioned in Hebrews 11. And we read of all the great people that have faith. And here he is listed among them. So even though he died in chains and blind, the scriptures seem to indicate that just like Yahweh uses pagans and our enemies to punish us, he used Samson to punish the Philistines. The story here is tailor-made to show us how Yahweh gives us so many good things, then we, like sheep, we go astray. The story said that Samson forgot about Yahweh. He left Yahweh. He gave away his secret. So then Yahweh left him. And just because Yahweh doesn't punish us right away when we do the wrong things, doesn't mean that all we're doing is right. Also, when, you know, we're not all the strongest, the best, or the brightest at what we do, but Yahweh's there to help us. He never abandons us until we abandon him. And sometimes some of the things we want are not in line with Yahweh's will. This was and is a good story, many lessons to learn, good and bad. And we have to use our talents in a good way to edify the body. So let's just look at some closing scriptures here I want to share with us to keep us in line with the topic that we read here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26. We'll read a few scriptures here. It's pretty basic, pretty simple what the apostle says here. I'll start in verse 25. It says, because the foolishness of Yahweh is wiser than men, and the weakness of Yahweh is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble. But Elohim has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and Elohim has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things that are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised. Elohim has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before Elohim. So the message is, consider our calling. Like I said before, not many of us, it says here, not many mighty, not many noble. You don't have a lot of Samsons here in the congregation. You don't have a lot of noble people here with degrees. But Yahweh opens our hearts and our minds. And we can even teach these people in the world that have degrees and things like this. We can teach them about Yahweh. And they'll be surprised. They'll be just like the people were surprised at the apostles, saying, how do these unlearned men know all these things? How did they get this insight? Let's go real quick to, we'll stay in Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. Chapter 12 here in Corinthians talks about the gifts. And I just want to read a quick verse here in verse 4. It just says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. So one man is a singer, one man plays instruments, one man is a good speaker. You know, one man is strong in the faith. You have all these different gifts working together to edify. But it's all through the Spirit of Yahweh. And that's very important. And in Zechariah 4:6, we know that it says there, we know how strong Samson was, but it says there that not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of Yahweh, things get done the right way. And also 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says that we have the mind of Messiah. When we think like he does, we accomplish his will. Also, let's go to 1 John. 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, or 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Because we saw there that even though Samson did some wrong things, in the end, he prayed to Yahweh. Yahweh gave him that extra burst of strength there at the end. So in 1 John 5:13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of Yahweh, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we ask of him. And back to chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 to 22. Because we know that many people, they say they pray. They might not pray to Yahweh. They might pray to Yahweh using a title or another name. But it says here in 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 to 22. We shall know by this that we are of the truth and shall assure our heart before him, before Yahweh and Yahshua, in whatever our heart condemns us. For Yahweh is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before Yahweh. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. So that's the key right there. So in closing, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll read about Samson here, all the way in Hebrews. You know, many people don't like to use the Old Testament, but we have many, many quotes. And we have our foundation for the New Testament. The foundation is the Old Testament, the First Covenant. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 to 34. The writer here, after he mentions to us all these great men, he says in verse 32, "And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and of Samuel the prophets, of Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight." So we read about one of these stories, and interesting that Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, they're all listed in the book of Judges. They were all judges of Israel. They all did what was right in the sight of Yahweh. Even though sometimes we'll look at ourselves and we'll think to ourselves, you know, I don't deserve even Yahweh's mercy. Yahweh's looking at our heart. He looks at us differently because He knows us even before we were born. And He knows, you know, a lot of us, what we would do in certain situations. That's why He tested Job, because He knows what Job would do. He knows how true we are. And so let us pray for spiritual strength so that in these end times we won't give up the fight and get drawn away or deceived. Amen and hallelujah.